Shalom and good morning once more. We want to get to part two of understanding the special gifts of the Holy Spirit of communication. The gifts of communication are the gifts of tongues and the gifts or the gift of prophecy. We discover that prophecy is meant to encourage the church, is meant to comfort the church, is meant to strengthen the church. And the church means God's people when they come together. We are talking about order, bringing order in public worship. And we also discovered that it will be good for us to thrive in the gift of prophecy because it benefits all the people. Then he had talked about the gift of tongues is that you speak to God. The gift of prophecy, you speak to the people. The gift of tongues, the main is, we also discovered that they are not understood by anyone. It's a mystery, not by yourself. It's a mystery by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's a gift given. And we discovered that the gift of tongues is meant to encourage yourself. It's a self. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit has given particularly for you. When you're speaking to your soul, when you're downcast, you can speak in tongues and you speak to God. Remember, there are several instances that you speak to God. Now, we want to go to part two from verses 13 or 12 all the way to verses 25 of 1 Corinthians 14. And we want to see the instruction that Paul gives or the advice that Paul gives in utilizing the two gifts. Said we are going to do it in three parts. Now, but it would be good for us to ask ourselves, what is the difference between private worship and public worship? So that we don't make a mistake. So that we don't disregard one for another. So that we don't take one and then we lift it over the other one. The context matters. And this is what we call the public worship and private worship. Public worship is when the church comes together. The church is not the building. The church is the team or is the gathering together of the redeemed. The church is when the body of Christ comes together. We had talked about the body before this in chapter 12. When the body congregates, assembles for the purpose of looking unto God. And we are waiting for God to speak to us. So the Holy Spirit would use this. So the public worship is when members come together. But there's also what we call private worship. In fact, everybody should have begun the day in private worship. This is when you are with God. We discover Jesus, the time of Jesus that was spent in the 3 years, 3.5 years, could have been divided into three. Number one, Jesus spent time with God, what we say private worship. The moment he would wake up early in the morning, before dawn, he go to a secluded place. He go to a mountain and spend the whole mountain. I mean, the whole time at the mountain with God alone. Before he could select people, he would go and have private worship. So 1/3 of Jesus' time was spent in private worship. The other third was spent with his own disciples. This is one of the public worship, because when he comes together with his inner circle, it's public also. Public is when two or three are gathered. Public is when you are more than yourself. fact, even in family worship, can also be part of public worship, because you're meeting with your wife or your children. You cannot be able to speak in tongues when people are not understanding what you're saying. Unless the time you, during the public worship, you can say, we are giving these 5 minutes for you to run to God and speak to God, because it's possible for you to create private communication during public worship. We know it's possible, as Jesus would do that to the disciples. He'd go to the mountain together with them, and they are going to worship, and they have gone as a team. But then he says, pray. And then he goes a stone throw away, then he pray. You see, they went together to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, let's all pray. But when you look at the way they are praying, Jesus is a stone throw and disciples are away, another priest, but they are all praying. You see, it's a public meeting. He has gone with his disciples, but during the public worship, he gives room for private communication with God. That is also possible. That private communication, you can use your tongues. Public communication or worship, always prophecy. And when you use tongue, you have to to interpret it as you're going to see. Then the other part of Jesus, he would use with the people, with the multitude, either healing them, sending them, giving them food, teaching them, preaching to them, speaking the kingdom of God with them, bringing and answering their question, and making sure that he rebukes those devourer that would destroy the people. All this. So that is, I was giving the difference between between public and private worship with Jesus as an example. And we discover prophecy are used for public. Tongues are used for private. Then what advice did Paul give to worship during public? Let's do verses 12 to 20. This is the advice. You see, the Bible starts with, so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel those that build the church. Number one advice, excel in the gift that build up the church. That's about public. We are talking about public here, please. When we say excel in this, the context is public. Verse 13, he says, for this reason, the one who speaks in tongues should pray that they may interpret what they say. That is in public. When you use tongues in public, interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit pray, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing in my understanding. You see, Paul does not refuse speaking and singing and praying in the spirit. Now, speaking in tongues here, he describes it as speaking in tongues in the spirit. He now changes the language about talking in a, communicating the language of a tongue. He now says it's about speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, praying in tongues, and in the spirit. It's about speaking in the spirit, singing in the spirit, worshiping in the spirit. He labels it another name. But he gives his, even when you're having these, do it. When you are doing it in the spirit, your mind is unfruitful. So he says, balance the two. This is another advice. Seek to balance the two. Because as you also speak, let your also mind know what you are saying. When your heart pray to God, when your soul is lifted up to God, sometimes speaking in tongues and in the spirit could sometimes be a time when you're just groaning. The other time we said that sometimes you groan and you are in deep agony, for example, you are in deep mourning, and words cannot come out, you know, you're still communicating. Remember, this is about communication. So you're still speaking. Somebody would hear voices coming from you, but you're groaning. That can also be part of the tongues. And he says, Paul advises, apart from exerting with the one that builds up the church now, seek to use the two faculty of yourself, both the heart and the mind. The mind is the one that you use intelligible words. Words that you can hear me speak now. But you can also sing in the spirit and sing in understanding. Verse 16, for otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, you see, you praise God in the spirit, it's advisable. How can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen? Some, you know, church or public place, people come to inquire. They want to know instruction. And here you're speaking in one tongue. You can also take an example, like in our, you know, in a country, people speak different languages. Maybe apart from those that come from the English speaking. For example, if you speak in Swahili, that's a Kenyan language, and you have a Mzungu, a European person, or American who has just come, will they say amen? They come into our language. If you are speaking in Swahili, for example, and a Nigerian come in the worship service, will they be able to say amen? That's another tongue. Swahili is a tongue. English is a tongue. You see, when you say you're speaking in tongues, it is those tongues that are also intelligible. There are those who are a few click that understand a particular tongue. Another one does not. This is why, especially in metropolitan worship, please, let's not use tongues. Metropolitan is when several languages are coming together, several tribes are coming together. Let's not speak in languages or in mother tongues or in father tongues. Let's not speak mother tongues. Probably I can make fun. You can speak in father tongue. Father tongue is the one that connects all of us, the one that makes us understand, probably. Now, so you're saying somebody who come to inquire, they cannot say amen to your thanksgiving. You're very happy, but they are not. In fact, they'll go home since they do not know what you are saying. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, Paul now talks about that so that you don't demean the gift of the tongues. He says he does tongues more than all people that he was speaking to. But he says in the church, when church come in the public, I would rather speak five intelligible words than instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it's written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I'll speak to these people. But even then, they will not listen to me because they're speaking to tongues, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. It's a sign. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers, because you're edifying them. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers, all unbelievers come in, when they are, will they not say that you are out of your mind? They will do. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sins and are brought under judgment by all. As the secret of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Dear people, It's good for us to realize that in the public worship, we have got people who are also called inquirers. They are sick. They are also called, another one, they are called seekers. This is to tell you the church is not necessarily made for only the redeemed. I know that would bring some question to some of us. Paul says there are some people who are called inquirers, because church is not made for the perfect. No one is perfect before God. No one is 100% complete. And if I am at maybe 30% better or complete, and another person is 10% complete, the one who is 20% cannot say that they're better than those who are 10%, because I'm not 100. So there are those who have come, they know they are forgiven of their sin, but there are also those who are coming to inquire. They have been attracted to ourselves, and that's what we should do, attract them. Jesus would attract people. You know, when Jesus would have gone to the, you know, to the synagogue, there are people who are demon possessed there, and demons will speak out of those people, but Jesus would welcome them, because it is at that particular point they will be able to know Jesus. So he says, when you come there and you are using tongues, seek to interpret them. Don't speak in an intelligible language. Paul says, I speak in tongues, but not to when we are in a public. And when you speak one, seek to ask for interpretation. And God is able, the Holy Spirit has also given another gift called the gift of interpretation of tongues. And so let's know that gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, but let us use them properly for order of worship, so that when people, an inquirer, come in, they can say, surely God is among you, and they can be brought into judgment. They can be convicted of their sins, because they are understanding, their minds have understood what God is saying as he speaks through us. Father, help us to understand and to use this wisdom and knowledge as we come together, in Jesus' name.